teaching our hands to walk. Psalm 144 in verse 1. Blessed be the Lord my strength, which teaches my hands to war and my fingers to fight. He teaches my hands to what? To war and my fingers to fight. It's a question that we asked on Thursday here. That was the Wednesday night. Coming to Thursday, the Lord asked me that question. He said, does anybody think that I'm responsible for their troubles? Does anybody here think that God is responsible for the woe in which you find yourself? Is anybody here who says, God, you are responsible for my troubles? And after that Bible studies, my brother okay came to me. He said, Pastor, I was crying because God told me the same thing on Sunday, to ask this church the same question on Sunday. And I didn't ask. Now he told you to ask the same question that I didn't ask. So I should ask them, what did I do to them? Am I responsible for their troubles, that they are lukewarm Christians? We have a responsibility that God teaches us. God is not going to come and live the Christian life for me and for you. We have a role to play. And we need to play our what? Our role. So he warns us about life. So just that we know. Not so that we're afraid. Because he said we should serve him without fear all the days of our life. But knowledge is power. Knowledge empowers you. About things that are happening in the spiritual world that are real. And he told us in 1 Peter 5, 8 and 9. 1 Peter 5, 8 and 9. Be sober. Everybody say sober. I want it louder. Sober. Be sober. Be what again? Is that my responsibility and yours? Is that God's? So he said we should be sober. What does it mean to be sober? The word is being sober. To be mindful. To be careful. To have a presence of mind. What else? To be careful. To calm down. To be sober. You know, when you are driving, they say, you see it up there, be sober. Or be pulled over. To have a presence of mind, to be sober, and to be vigilant. Watch it. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, is doing what? Walking about and seeking whom he may devour. Verse 9 says, whom stand firm, what? Again, whose responsibility? If I don't stand firm against him, he will eat me like lunch. Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. That's my responsibility. If I don't play my role, he will eat me like breakfast. Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. Remember that your Christian brothers and sisters all over the world are going through the same kind of suffering. He said, He's trying everybody. There's nothing, there's nowhere you run to escape being tried by the devil. Even Jesus himself was tried. And in Ephesians 4:27, he told us something again, which is our responsibility. Neither give place to what? To the devil. Don't give him place. If you give him, he will take. Which means if he comes in, I gave him the place. God's not responsible for that. I'm the one that did that. So, in reading these scriptures, we find that the first line of defense is not keeping sleepless night and yelling at the devil. The first line of defense is to be sober and to be vigilant. That's the first thing we are told to do. We haven't been told to cast him out yet. But we are told to be, number one, sober. Number two, vigilant. Be careful. And Jesus put it properly. He said, watch and pray. You won't hear in Christian teachings where this kind of instruction is told the church, this is where you start this thing. Because it's easy to go and say, let's bind the devil. If you are binding him and you are not watching and pray, the man will sneak back and finish the lunch he started. He will sneak back. And he does it all the time. So we need to understand that a certain point of defense that the Bible is teaching us is to learn to live a careful life, a watchful life, a vigilant life. Can we say amen to that? In Colossians 4:2, it adds something to it. Devote yourself to prayer with an alert mind. With an alert mind and a thankful heart. So we need to be people who are alert, who are vigilant, who are watchful, and who devote ourselves to prayers. Now, let me even add, the prayer we're talking about is not necessarily prayer for money. There are spiritual resources you need. There are spiritual resources you need desperately. More valuable than dollar. Most of our prayer topic consists in physical things that people see. It's wonderful to pray about them. But I'm telling you now, the Spirit of God in the heart of man is something more than... There is something more valuable than dollar. Dollar cannot fight spiritual battles for you. You doubt me, you look at Hollywood and see what is happening there. Tell yourself the story. You live in America. Look at Hollywood and see what is happening there. If dollar can fight spiritual battles, they won't be in such a huge mess. And those of you who are young people who think you have stars, you don't have any star in Hollywood. You have only one star, and his name is Jesus. All those people there that they say they are stars and people are emulating them, for God's sake, haven't you considered the end of other people there? Haven't you considered, isn't it in the news? Don't you read it? Broken marriages, broken lives, drug issues. Which one? They are not your stars. I should not emulate them. Jesus is your star. And if you ask me, let me even deviate a little bit. The real stars here are the nurses that work to save lives, the teachers that teach to produce lives, the doctors that work to save lives. They are my stars. They are the real ones. They are the ones. They are these people who labor, who work in social welfare, those who take care of the poor, the elderly. Boy, talk of stars. They are my Hollywood people. Because they're making positive changes to life. But not those ones who wear Obonte. How can an adult wear Obonte and call it fashion? Where I come from, your people will have a meeting. I'm telling you the truth. And you copy them. They wear all manner of junk. Call it fashion. You don't even have to be a Christian to know some of these things. It's only common sense. Even the heathens in my village wouldn't dress like that. I remember one of my cousins that went to the village for the first time, when trousers came in, when women started wearing trousers, the market broke into two. All the women went after her. They would take sand and say, so this is how you ended up. The girl, they took my motorcycle and took her away. He came and told me, he said, brother, see trouble. I wore trousers to Nkwo. and the market broke up. What I'm trying to say is, brethren, where we come from, we have something good. We have decency. For God's sake, we have what? Decency. We're decent people. We live in community. We value family. We honor father. We honor mother. We honor age. Continue with that. Nothing is wrong with it. Hasn't it paid dividend? Children who honor their parents, children who honor age, children who are decent. In this country today, as I'm talking to you, the most prosperous in their academic system are people from Africa and Asia and this. They're the most prosperous. And their children are no more going to school. Or they take drugs, they take opioids and all more of things. Is that what you want to follow? I don't even know why I went. It's not even a sermon, but we preach. And you watch television 24/7. They're entertaining you. Who is entertaining you? What are they entertaining you for? Say they have money. The devil can give you millions to destroy your life. He doesn't care. Because life is more than money. And then listen to this. After he gives you millions to destroy your life, when you die, he sneaks back, takes the whole money from you, and gives it to other. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. So what we're talking about, devoting yourself to prayer, is primarily about spiritual resources that make you wiser, make you spiritually strong, reveal to you the purpose of God for your life, so that you live a meaningful life. Those are the things that the devil wants to twat. So you are out of God's will for your life, so you'll be roaming around and doing what God does. Many people live and die without doing anything God planned for their life. The glorious things God wanted to do with them, nothing is done. That's a loss. That's a huge one. Let me show you some of the prayer topics that you should pray about. The things that will build your life, the things that will make you, when you talk like Christ. You talk like a human being. When you act, you like somebody who has been trained by the Lord Jesus Christ. Not behave like Aburu. Christian Aburu. Slight testing. And instead of people coming to Jesus, they are walking away because of us. We need those things. We need those. Let me show you an example. Look at Ephesians 1:9. Put it up there, Ephesians 1:9. Look at the kind of prayer I'm talking about. Say, devote yourself to prayer, be watchful. Devote yourself to prayer with an alert mind. And Ephesians, we have gone to Ephesians now. Philippians 1:9. And this I pray. See the kind of prayer the Bible is saying, devote yourself to seeking spiritual resources that will make you to be like Jesus. Be as your faith is strong, your understanding is rugged. He says, and this I pray, that your love may abound still what? More and more in knowledge and all. This is the kind of thing we should be praying about. So you don't walk in ignorance. That your love will abound what? More and more in knowledge and all discernment. Continue, but the next one. That you may approve the things that are what? Excellent. That you may be sincere and without offense till the day, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. These are the kind of prayer topics we Christians should be praying. And when you pray it and you get grounded in it, every other thing will be added unto you. They are chasing the devil every night. Why don't you pray this kind of prayer? And see how your life will transform. And the devil will start avoiding you. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Put that prayer down, Philippians 1:9 to 11. Put it down. Make sure you go home, study it, and start praying this kind of prayer. That's what this young boy here and the wife, Mike and Sandra, and then Mohammed, they have been trying to get the church to start praying this kind of spirit, Bible-based prayers. They are the things that will make you to grow spiritually and be strong in your faith and have the victory we're talking about. There are issues that are solved by simply living in love. Just living in love. Everything is not, shouldn't be contentious. Should live in love and let the Spirit of God do what it does best. Number two thing that the teaching us to do is we should not take the bait of Satan. We should not what? Take the bait of Satan. Now, somebody wrote something that is surprising. He said he saw, pig is very disorderly. One of the wildest animals, most disorderly, is pig. You can't herd a pig like you herd a sheep. So he said he saw a man that pig, all the pigs were following. He said, this is impossible. How can pig line up and be following one man without anybody? So he said he wanted to find out how this thing is happening. So he came nearer and found what the man was doing. You know, pig eats the back of cassava. So the man was dropping it along as he was going. And all the pigs were not following the man, they were following cassava. You know, the devil does the same thing. He puts bait in your life and you follow the bait and follow him. He puts bait in the lives of people. That's why it's called a deceiver. He baits you into things. You won't know it's him, but he baits you into stuff. So he uses wisdom of men, the things that are right in the eyes of men. But the Bible said, it's leading you to what? Death. So he uses it so you feel confident. Yeah. And the Bible says, a fool, being that false confidence, feel confident because you know what you are doing. So you use that bait in the wisdom of men. You know, a lot of us here, we just do our own stuff. We keep doing our own thing and causing trouble to our lives and then blaming, looking at God. We keep doing our thing. We keep doing our stuff. And we take scripture and twist it to back us in pride. Did you hear what she said? The communication with God was cut. And she said, I knew something was wrong here. And God said, you are not following the instruction of your pastor. I put that man there already. I'm telling you the truth. He said, you can't do this at your time. Brethren, let me tell us the truth. God asked me, he said, ask them. Does anybody think I'm responsible for their trouble? We love doing our own stuff. It makes you feel okay. You know. But that's the bait of Satan. The Satan gives bait. And we reason with you. And you follow your mind. You follow those things. The Bible says, ways that are right, what? But why is it going? Where of dead? The eyes of men, okay. And then you have a bunch of people who don't know God too, like we come and fellowship with you, and they say, yeah, that's okay. Let's do it like that. You don't know what you're talking about. You're just exposing yourself to demonic activity. You know, the way the Lord would call for me, he said, son, this is demon activities. It's one of them. Wisdom of men. Proverbs 2:11. Wise choices will watch over you. Wise choices will what? Come on, talk. Wise choices will what? Watch over you. Understanding will keep you safe. It's not night vigil yelling at Satan. When you don't make wise choices, all that you are yelling is waste of time. Because your choices will still bring you to his activity. I'm telling you,
Righteousness will watch over you. Understanding will keep you safe. Continue. Wisdom will save you from evil people. From those whose words are twisted. And you know who's motivating them? The devil. And there are many, even in churches, even in what, all over the churches, they are there. Twisted mind, twisted. They'll talk you out of everything, kill your faith, gossip about the church, gossip about pastors, gossip about. Nothing is. The Bible says, to whom that is evil, nothing is good. Twisted people. Continue. These men turn from the right way to walk down dark paths. 14. They take pleasure in doing wrong and they enjoy the twisted ways of evil. Continue. Their actions are crooked and their ways are wrong. Wisdom will save you from the immoral woman, from the seductive words of the promiscuous woman. 17. She has abandoned her husband and ignores the covenant she made before God. Entering her house leads to where? Death. It is the road to where? Grave. Our people say, they say the thing that gives you pleasure will kill you. That's what the man who visits her is what? Doomed. He will never reach the path of life. It's not doing knives and chasing Satan. Just a bind. You'll go bind, 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 bind. The man said, really? Okay. Where you come? I have a bit. Because I know you. I say, yeah, man, no be wood. Church, let's follow the Bible. It says to us, hey, watch and pray. Be vigilant. So you don't do, make choices that are wise. Make wise what? Choices. Choices you make can wreck your life, destroy it in 24 hours, kick you out of your job, and you are blaming the devil. And it's the choices you've been making. It's the choices you've been making. It's the choices. For instance, the Lord said, use this time to pray and fast. Oh, no, make a choice now. You make it. You know, I was telling my wife, he said, I should come speak to the woman. I said, I'm not coming. He said, not even, I'm not even coming. I didn't even tell her, I'm not even coming for their conference. I'm not coming. I didn't tell her about that one. He said, you have to come. I said, well, I'll come because you're my wife. I'm under authority. I said, why should I come? They're always late. So I stay here and sense what they're doing. They lose a lot. They lose, oh Jesus. They lose, they have no idea what they lose. Because it's like God prepares something and they're not there and they don't call it anything, they don't get anything. They look down on it and all that thing is taken away. All of it taken away. Come when they like, treat God like a husk, boy. Think you get blessed? Are you kidding me? You haven't read about this Bible. Well, God said, those who honor me, I honor. Simply, getting ready for that thing with enthusiasm and working hard to be there. All the God prepares for you there will come to you without effort. There are times you get healed without prayer. No prayer, you just get healed, get this. And God gives you revelations. But because you have no idea. Again, that's what we're talking about. Choices. Praise the Lord. So we must train ourselves to have good conscience. It's part of what you use to fight the devil is to have good what? Conscience. I want to hear from you. Good conscience. Say it louder. Good conscience. Say it louder. Good conscience. Because when you consistently do your own thing, being wise in your own eyes, making all these wrong choices, when you listen to me, don't write. When you consistently make these choices, you kill your conscience. Your conscience becomes dead. So that now you can do what you like. Not your conscience doesn't bother you because you've trained your conscience to disregard God and His word, to disregard God and His instruction, and walk in your wisdom. You are set up for demonic destruction. And the devil does his stuff over a long time. It's a subtle, diabolical, but extremely subtle and very patient. Very, very patient. You can still be coming to church, but gradually he's pulling out something from you. Until people say, but how can he backslide? He backslid longest time. The Bible said that when sin matures, it produces what? Death. It's a gradual thing. You see all this lateness, lateness. You have no idea you've gone. Gradual, because you have no more passion for God, no excitement about it. No gradual thing. Now, even if you come to church, you stay, but the small time you sleep and wake up, but First Timothy 1:19. First Timothy 1, verse 19. Holding faith and a good conscience. Holding what? Faith. And what again? I want us to read it together. Let's go. Holding faith and a good conscience. Say it again. Holding faith and what? Which some have put away concerning faith. Concerning what? Have made a shipwreck of. Shipwreck of what? Shipwreck. That one didn't complete. Okay, concerning faith, I've made a ship. I've made shipwreck, which means they wrecked their faith. But how did it come? Thank you. Thank you. You have good conscience. You know, I appreciate people who serve Jesus. It's not because I'm big. God forbid. I am the same. But, you know, I feel like just going down to thank them because, you know, I need to watch myself. Very serious. If you are in the position like this, it's easy to backslide. The cheapest thing is to backslide. And people won't know. They are gone. If there's anybody who watches life, it's me. Very cheap to backslide. That's why I keep going to give account. Come to pastor, tell pastor. I go back. I don't care how many. I go back, give account. I want to remind myself that you are a human being. You are not bigger than anybody else. Before God, you are all. So when they bring me something like this, I go and put wool here and thank them to remind myself. He's not bringing it because you are any big thing. He's bringing it because he's honoring Jesus that you are serving us. If you see, I will bring it for him. Praise the Lord. So I want to thank all these people that bring water for us and things. I want to honor you. He said, may the Lord reward you in Jesus' name. So, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck, wrecked their faith. They put away good conscience. You can't correct them. Can't tell them anything. I know what I mean. Who is the pastor of the team? Well, God put him over you. That's the issue. You can ask God, who are you to put him over me? God said, okay, it's between you and me. I put him there. I say, who is he to be? Okay, God says, all right, I put him. A good conscience. Everybody say a good conscience. If you don't have it, it will wreck your faith. It will wreck your faith for sure. And while there's no faith, there is no shield against the fiery darts of the enemy. Nothing. And we must not make provision for the flesh. The devil walks through the flesh. Shouldn't make provision for the flesh to walk its own walk out because the enemy uses that. James 3:14. James 3:14. But if you have bitter envy and strife in your heart, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descended not from where? Above, but is earthly. It's number two, what? Sensual. What is sensual? What is sensual? What you see, what you feel, even what you eat. Sensual, and then you can see the spirit behind that. Talk about spiritual battle. We go spend 220. Sometimes people spend 20 hours binding the devil. Yet they won't go to work. If they go to work, they are supposed to be there at 8. They are there at 10. They report 8. They are there at 10, and they report what? And they've just finished night video fighting the devil. Brother, it's a shame. It's laughable what people do in the name of God. You just finished night video fighting the devil, and you go to work. You went late, and you report. You wrote 8. The Bible said, it said, these 3 things, no, these 6 things God calls abomination. One of them is lying lips. And the book of James said, how can fresh water and bitter water come from the same mouth? It incapacitates you from exercising authority by doing things like that. But the ignorance will make you think it is only yelling at the devil, but you won't watch, you won't be careful, you won't make wise choices, and you wonder. Are you getting what I'm saying? Hey, are you still here? Am I saying you're a pastor or do I resign? I'm not resigning. Praise the Lord. For where envying and strife is, there is number one, confusion. What else is there? Every evil work, including sexual sin, all of them are there. But who causes it? It is devilish. So if you give yourself to the flesh, the devil will use your flesh to cause trouble. Use it to cause trouble. Because you are impatient. Can't be held back. So he knows how to touch you and to stop. He teaches our arm to war. He's giving us instruction how to do this thing. Ephesians 4:27. For anger gives a foothold to what? I didn't hear you. For anger gives what? What is foothold? Huh? A place to stand. So if it stands, what is it doing? Kill? Destroy? Or stay? Anger. The thing that ruined my life most is anger. Oh, Jesus. He messed me up big time. The devil ate me like breakfast and took the plate and cut, spoon, everything. And it was anger. Because anger, when it comes, you are mad. The Americans have the proper word for it. Say you are mad, because that's what you are. You are really, because you're out of control. The things you can say, the things you can do, and you don't care who is there. And once you lose control, somebody takes control at that point. And you say things that hurt you. Do things that scatter things. Do things that at the end, when you come back to your senses, you cry and regret. But sometimes the deed is done. Sometimes walking it backwards becomes difficult. You see why the Bible warns us? That we should not allow the flesh to control us. It's not probably heaven and earth thing. It's about your safety here on this world. Do you know people have lost their job because of anger? Because of anger. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. I took somebody somewhere, a hospital. Then he felt they were wasting time. He got angry. He said, let them give me my paper. Let's get out of here. I said, where are you? Calm down. It's your life. I can walk away. I'm not the one. It's your life. I said, where are you? You should be grateful to them that they are taking care of you. And I said, I don't know what they're doing. You don't know. So how did you judge them? It was later on that they came and they explained to us what they were doing. I said, have you seen? But he has gotten agitated and angry. He said, we want to leave here. Can you tell them to give me my paper? Let's. I said, where are you going? This is 3 a.m. Actually, to be angry is to be mad. He messed me up. Oh, Jesus. He messed me up. He insulted me like nothing else. Because he won't allow you to process things properly. So that you now have a measured response. Your response is quick, thoughtless, sometimes totally useless and meaningless. And it's not just anger. Every act of the flesh gives the devil a foothold. If you are greedy, he uses to finish you. You know why? You know why Judas was finished? It was his propensity for greed. He was keeping money and stealing. And that led him to take 30 pieces of silver to sell his master. And he died a horrible day. Praise the Lord. Now, we need to come and take the second part of this, maybe next Sunday. I'll just do a little bit of introduction about it. That one of the ways that God is teaching us to fight is to be careful the doctrine we believe. To be careful the doctrine what we believe. The devil can wreck your faith. Actually, what is after is your faith. It can wreck your faith. You believe wrong doctrines. 1 Timothy 4:16. 1 Timothy 4, verse 16. Take heed unto thyself and unto the what? Doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both do what? Save. Why the word save? Something wants to destroy you through wrong doctrine. You save thyself and them that is important. Brethren, it's not because I'm a pastor. But I won't go to church where they don't preach Jesus. You won't find me there. Because this life is my only life, God. It's my only life. And I won't let anybody wreck it and teach me wrong doctrine. I was talking with a young man who went to school. He said, I said, Pastor, somebody took me to one place and this man told me something about me that resonated. I said, oh, wow. And I said, I go to church. I said, what is the focus of that church? Since you go there, what do they focus on preaching? He said, the man says, my job is to make young people achieve their potential. I said, any psychologist will tell you that. I said, run from there. They were looking at me. I said, do what? Run. If they are not focusing on Christ crucified, they are not showing you anything. I said, didn't you read the book of Psalm? Except the Lord, yes. Those that build. I said, it's not showing you the Lord that builds your life. He wants to build it. Isn't it simple for you to see that the devil had concocted this thing? He said, Pastor, now I see what you're talking about. Hey, he said, that's true. I said, yes, except the Lord builds. And if they're not introducing you to know the builder, how can he make you, how can a man make you? How can a man? I said, don't you see it? That is not God. I said, this is what psychologists do. Any psychologist will tell you that. 7 steps to greatness. I said, but it is the Lord that builds our life and makes us to be who should be. So except he builds, all that thing is building, can't stand one kick of Satan. Not even 1 second. The man said, Pastor, you're right. I said, well, it's the Bible that just the entrance of the word brings. And we had other discussions. I said, don't waste your time. There's no compromise on this thing. If I enter there, I watch you people, what you're preaching. If it's not Christ crucified, I'm not coming back. Because there's no salvation in you. There is no hope of glory in. There is no life in you. He is my all. He is my confidence. He is my everything. And it's who the Holy Spirit came to talk about. Doctrine is very key. Because if I remove your focus from Christ, where else will I put it? Is there any other foundation? And don't forget that the Bible says that the faith that overcomes is the faith that believes that Jesus is what? 1 John 5:5. Who is he? And who can win this battle against the world? Who is the God of this world? The devil. So he's asking, who can win this battle against Satan and his system of the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is what? Son of God. That's the faith that deals with Satan. That's the rock of ages. That's where you peg your faith and the devil can handle you. Once you believe, your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is strong. He can handle you. That's what Jesus said. He said, let the storm come. Let this thing come. It can't handle you. Oh, church, can I hear amen? That's the faith that overcomes this world. The faith that is built on Christ, the solid rock I stand. You build on any other thing, it's sinking sand. Praise the Lord. I remember one time I saw that spirit from your town, Umuchu. That spirit came from your town, you can't deny. Then he came, and the Lord told me, he said, it's from your village. So he came looking so ugly. And he said to me, he said, you think you don't hear, you won't wash, you won't serve me. He said, I'm going to put you in jail, I'll put you in prison. He gave me the date with everything. He said, I'm warning you now. So I'm warning you. If you see the way he was talking to me, to frighten me. So I'm warning you now. He said, go to where the road is for this and do a sacrifice. I'm warning you. He was looking so frightening. On Christ the solid rock I stand. Oh. Oh. I said to him, who born you? Where are you from? I said, I raised the name of Jesus against you. I said, are you not afraid to come near me? I said, I command you in the name of Jesus. Come and get out of here. The thing went woo-woo and left. And the Lord said to me, it's from your village. He said, actually, it's too true, really. That spirit is called you. They really say, yeah, that's why it's demanding service, because your people dedicate their name to it. Paul said, I know in whom Christ is the foundation of a faith that overcomes. I don't care if it's sin, you will overcome sin. If it's Satan, you will overcome Satan. Overcomes the world and the spirit behind the world. The Bible says we overcome because the greater one is us than he, the devil. The doctrine that bases on Christ is the doctrine that you want to know. There's no salvation in any other. There's no salvation in rituals. There's no salvation in turn three times, turn to the north, turn to the south. After turning to the south and north, if it is not Christ, they will defeat you. And for those of us who don't love Bible studies, you don't love reading the Bible, you just want to coast along, take your time, and live a life of leisure, I'm going to tell you the truth. You are in danger. The pastor, why? The Holy Spirit says so. I didn't say so. I will show you. 2 Thessalonians 2:9. This man will come to do the work of Satan with counterfeit power and signs and miracles. Is that what the world wants? Come on, church. Yeah, that's what people want. Miracles. Uh-huh. Continue now. Verse 10. Now, you jump to verse 16. Verse 10. He will use every kind of evil deception to fool those on their way to why? Church. Why? Church. This is the testimony of the Holy Spirit. Because they refuse to love and accept the truth that will what? Accept. They refuse to accept it. They don't love the truth. That's why Bible study doesn't mean anything to them. When I meet him, reading the Bible is fulfilling our righteousness. They have no love for it. If you have love for something, nobody will push you to do that. I've said this story over and over. When I went to marry my wife, I'll tell you people, I love my wife more now than before. If she's living somewhere, I'll still go now every day to see her. Then I was working in Kaduna. You know, I'm a pharmacist. I was doing my internship at the teaching hospital there. And then I will arrange for people, every 2 weeks, I'll arrange for people to do my shift. I would drive down from Kaduna to Nsukka. I won't even feel it. Why? I was going to see her. It was awesome. Every 2 weeks, I would do that for 1 year. Check it, brethren. I would drive down there. I remember once I had to walk because nobody could take it. Immediately after work, I got to Nsukka in the night. After night, I didn't care about armed robbery. I wanted to see her. Period. Case. Love makes you feel no pain. If you love the truth, you will study the Bible, you won't feel pain. You will enjoy it. If you love something, when they mention that thing, you are there. You can't be dodging Bible studies. You don't love the Word of God. If you do, you pay the price for it. I pay the price to go and see my wife. I will send her card every day, unless it's not morning. I go to the Hall of Cards, buy card, mail it from Kaduna every day. And then I'll still go and see her. How much was I earning? You know? And when I bought the car, I went to see her. She saw the car, she started smiling. Thinking, is air conditioner? I say, yeah, there's air conditioner. I put air conditioner. After I'm teaching you what to do. She was smiling. She said, okay, let's go to Ekura. I said, okay, let's go. I love my wife. Yesterday, I was telling my wife, I love my wife. I said to the Lord, say, Lord, I love my wife, and I want to love her more. I do. I really do. Ooh. And no apologies. Every man in this church, do the same. Can I hear amen? Love your wife without any reservation. You have nothing to lose. You have everything to gain. It was my wife that went to the Lord in prayer. I said to the Lord, this man has blessed me. I want you to bless him. Yeah, you know, I was doing business, pharmacy, doing business, and then God opened the world of business for me because of her prayer. Because of her prayer. You have nothing to lose. It's the devil's bait making you hate your wife. If God gives you a woman, there's no better woman. You can't find anything better than the one God found. It's impossible. So if you love yourself, you do what? Love her. It doesn't cost much. My wife doesn't cost much. If going out is reading Bible and prayer, so we don't spend money going out. So it's cheap to me. Cheap to me. They don't have the love of the world. The Bible says because they don't have the love of the world, they are not doing what is required to do to get the word in them, rooted and grounded. And because of that, he said they are deceived by miracles and this thing that takes them away and destroys their life. I cannot tell you. It doesn't happen overnight. Sometimes it's gradual, over time. But he knows where he's taking you. I can see they are preaching. So I don't believe that. You don't know what you're talking about. Don't know what you're talking about. Praise the Lord. So we're trained to be sure that the doctrine we believe is according to the truth. And this truth is in Christ Jesus. This truth is where? In Christ Jesus. That's why the truth is. He is the truth. He is the truth. He is the truth. In him is all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Right in him. The knowledge that will build the faith with which you will overcome is in Christ Jesus. Can't find it any other place. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. I want us to bow our heads.
You have just listened or viewed another teaching from the Orange Four Square Church family. Please visit http://store.ftlw.org, where you can listen to other teachings freely, or you can purchase and download MP3s. Thanks and remain blessed.